My name is Ben Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
The Scripture says, "Do not be ignorant, but understand the will of the Lord." Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. We're so thankful that you've joined us for our marriage enrichment seminar to better understand God's will for marriage and to better understand one another. Reminds me of a story Brother Aubrey Williams told at his 100th birthday this week. Had a chance to go to his party and he told this story, and I thought it might be fitting for some of the things we are thinking about tonight. Fellow was walking along the beach and he came across a bottle, a genie bottle. And so he rubbed that bottle real good and hard, and out popped the genie. And the genie said he was going to give him one grand promise, one grand wish. And so the fellow thought about it for a little bit. He always wanted to go to Hawaiian Island. But he didn't want to fly. He didn't want to fly there. He's afraid of that. And so he asked that genie if he would build a bridge from here to Hawaii. Well, that genie thought about it for just a little bit and said, "Boy, that's a pretty tall order. Just don't know if we can do that or not. Don't you have something else that you'd like to have just as much?" So he thought about it and said, "Well, there is one other thing. I'd like to understand women." Well, that genie scratched his head for just a second and said, "Do you want a two-lane or a four-lane?" So we're here tonight to better understand one another, better understand God's will, and better understand His plan for marriage tonight. And we are so thankful that you are here with us tonight. When we think about God's plan for marriage, and especially the spiritual foundation for marriage, there are several things I want to mention that I think we've got to understand tonight if marriage is going to work. What are some of the spiritual foundations of marriage? First, we must understand that marriage is about holiness, not just happiness. Now, understand what I'm saying. I don't mean, and God doesn't mean, that people shouldn't be happy. God wants people to be happy. God wants marriages to be happy. But sometimes our happiness can be based on the wrong ideas and the wrong mindset. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Sometimes if we're not careful, we can place our happiness so much on the pleasure side of marriage that we miss out on what the real purpose of marriage is all about. I want to go to heaven, and I want my family to go to heaven. And God gave man and woman to each other so that we could help one another get to heaven. If we understand and if we can see that to make marriage work, it's about holiness, not just happiness, that married couples are to help one another to grow spiritually, to get to heaven, to perfect holiness in each other, then I believe we can truly understand God's purpose behind marriage. I'm reminded of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 16. The Scripture says, "As He who called you is holy, be holy in all your conduct. I am to develop and perfect holiness, and husbands and wives ought to help one another to be more holy." If we can see that the relationship between husband and wife, the marriage relationship, is to help one another develop spiritually, to help us grow closer to God and closer to one another, then we've laid then a good foundation for what marriage is all about. I want to ask you to open your Bible, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 3. And I want you to see tonight that marriage is about helping one another get to heaven, helping one another to perfect holiness. It's about holiness, not just happiness. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'd like you to look at the words of verse 7. The Scripture says, "Husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, and as being," watch this, "heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." What's that mean, heirs together of the grace of life? Husbands and wife are in a joint venture, a joint effort to reach and to attain eternal life. Now, if that can't happen without holiness, Hebrews 12:14 says, "Without holiness, no one shall see God." If holiness is necessary for us to achieve that joint venture, then marriage must be about holiness. I understand that there is the side of marriage that is about pleasure. The Bible makes that abundantly clear in 1 Corinthians 7, 1 and 2, and Hebrews 13, 4. But here's what I want to get across tonight. I talk to people and I hear people say sometimes, "You know, my marriage is just not happy." And what they mean usually is, I'm not being fulfilled, self-fulfillment is not being attained, I'm not getting what I think I ought to out of that. Maybe the problem is our thinking is not what it ought to be. Maybe we're so focused on that pleasure side that we miss the point of marriage. Marriage is about helping one another obtain holiness to get to heaven. Secondly, a spiritual foundation you can lay is that marriage is based on promise, not just pleasure. Would you open your Bible with me to Malachi chapter 2? I want you to turn to the book of Malachi, and let's realize tonight that marriage is based on promise, not pleasure. Malachi chapter 2, and I'd like for you to look in verses 14 through 16. The Scripture says, "Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you've dealt treacherously, yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But he did not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit, and why one? But he did not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit, and why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce, for it covers one's garments with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit and do not deal treacherously, or that you do not deal treacherously." Here, God emphasizes that marriage is about promise. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 5, "If you make a vow, pay that vow." When we make the promise, we need to stand behind that promise. When we say, "I do," regardless of how difficult it gets, regardless of whether it's as pleasurable as it once used to be, that promise must be part of the spiritual foundation between God and man and woman. That's key to our understanding. I guess part of the point I'm trying to emphasize is so many times our young people look to marriage as, you know, and the media makes it this way, so much about the pleasure, so much about sex and things of that nature. When, friends, we've got to realize that is eventually going to take a back seat in marriage. Let me illustrate. Look in your Bible in Proverbs 31. Turn to Proverbs 31, and I want you to see that it's not the physical, the outward, that really builds the foundation of the marriage. It's the promise that you make to help one another get to heaven. Turn to Proverbs 31. And young people, I hope you'll listen carefully to this. This is a passage that if you'll get at a young age, you'll understand real well the value of a godly helpmate. Proverbs 31, look in verse 30. The Scripture says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty passing, but the woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." What's that mean? Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. One day we're all going to stand in the mirror and say, "Where'd that good-looking guy go?" Or, "Where'd that good-looking girl go?" We're all going to stand and think, "Remember when I used to look like this?" Or, "When I used to look like that?" When you're like me, you get married, you gain a little weight. I've gained 20 pounds. I used to be a lot thinner. But sometimes you look and you say, "Well, what happened? Where'd all that go? What happened to us?" Well, here's what you've got to realize. Beauty is passing. Charm's deceitful. Where do you put your interest? The woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. When you decide to choose a godly helpmate, choose one who will help you to get to heaven. Realize that marriage is based on promise. The promise you make to one another and the promise to God, not just pleasure. Well, moving on, marriage is also about personal responsibility, not personal rights. Look in your Bible in Ephesians chapter 5. I hear people say, "Well, I've got the right to a happy marriage. I've got the right to do these things," or, "I've got the right." We live in a self-entitlement society where we think we've got the right to all these things. Marriage is not about what you think you have the right to do. Marriage is about the responsibility, the personal responsibility that I have to God and to my mate. We're going to read Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 33, and I want you to notice the personal responsibilities in this text. "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Now, Paul says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Here's personal responsibility. This is what I've got to do to make marriage work. Wives, you've got to submit, you've got to respect, you've got to live up to the godly role that God has placed before you. Husbands, you've got to love your wives just as you love your own body. And Paul says, no one ever hated his own flesh. No one thinking correctly would say things that to the wife or to the husband that some might say to themselves. They wouldn't think that way about themselves. And so it's about personal responsibility, not personal right. And then finally tonight, a spiritual foundation for marriage is you must take it with serious commitment. If marriage is going to work, you've got to be committed to making it work no matter what. Turn your Bible to Matthew 19 and let me illustrate by the words of the Savior. Matthew chapter 19. In a society that flings off wedding rings as quick as they put them on sometimes, we've got to understand that when we make that vow, there has to be a commitment no matter what until death do us part. Matthew chapter 19, look in verses 3 through 9. The Pharisees came to Jesus, testing him and saying to him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? If she burns the toast, can I divorce her?" Well, verse 4, "And he answered and said to them, 'Have you not read that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh? So they are no longer two, but one flesh.' Now watch this. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." They said to them, "Why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and put her away?" And Jesus said, "Moses, because the hardness of your hearts." Now watch how Jesus corrects their wording. "Permitted you to divorce his wife, your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her also is divorced, commits adultery." And so Jesus made it abundantly clear. If marriage is going to work, the spiritual foundation has to be, we are going to be committed to this. We're going to make it work. We're going to stick in there through the good times and the bad. We're going to make it work no matter what. And if you've got that stick-to-itiveness, if you've got that attitude to never give up and to realize this is my one and only shot for true holiness, true happiness, then friend, you can make marriage work.